Hello and welcome to April's live member Q&A. So like normal, I'm going to start off just talking about some few things that have been released in Beginning of Tyclomy over the last couple of weeks or this month. And then I've got a few questions that have been submitted and a few questions I've just picked up from members over the last couple of weeks, which I thought would be really nice to share with you guys, because I'm sure they're probably questions that most people have got. So go through some of those as well. So main thing I want to talk about that has been released in Beginning of Tyclomy is, if you haven't already, make sure you check out the new song study. So the song study is Take It Easy by the Eagles. Now, I did write this, I think, in last Saturday's member newsletter, so you may have already had some chance to look at it. If not, it's a really good song, and really good song for most levels. So level one, it's got really simple open chords in the verse. Let me show you, actually. So if I go to chords and lyrics, so this is something I'm going to start adding to the songs as well. It's just these nice strummy pages. So you've got the lyrics on there, you've got the chords above it, you can just print that off and perform it. So you can sing along to it, you can see obviously where you get changed the chords, because the lyric has the chord above it. So you know when you say, for instance, that first line running is when that G chord's coming in. So it makes it really easy to just play it, you know, friends and family, or just playing, you know, for yourself at home. It's a great way of doing it. So all E minor, G, D, C, so nice simple chords. But then if we go to like the solo tab, there's a solo in it. That's a little bit more tricky. We've got some great little, little parts in it. So very chordal. So when he's picking out these notes, he's picking out notes from a chord. Like there's a G chord. And kind of like a C chord. Then back to like a D chord. So really nice example of how you can follow chords and picking out chord tones in a solo. So again, obviously a little bit harder, a little bit higher level, but I've put this at level one just because it is a nice easy strummer. But if you obviously want to dig in a bit more, then you can have a go at the solo and all kind of the fun bits on top of that. So we've also got the videos as well that I normally do. So a video strum along, play along version, and the solo play along as well. So you've got the scrolling tab, demo in the background, so you can hear exactly what you should be doing. So I just wanted to quickly point that out, because that's a really fun song. That's a really nice one to play. Again, for all levels, for beginners, just know a few chords, to the more advanced that ready to put their solos, go in and, you know, have a little bit more of an in-depth look at it. And it's a really nice one to study, looking at, say, chord tones and following chord changes in a solo. So that was the main thing I've released. And let's dive in to a few questions then. So let's go through firstly the pre-submitted questions. And the first one was from Soren. And Soren said, have I considered doing very short online sessions? So if we're struggling guitar, so you can basically log on with me, you know, 10 minutes or so, and go through challenges and ask any questions. So that is already available. Not live, but with obviously video exchange, which I'll quickly show you. So if you go to the support area, you'll see the support bubble. And the support bubble allows you to send me an audio, video, or text whenever you like. So you can send me a video, for instance, of you demonstrating, oh, I find this chord change tricky, or is this in time? I'm not quite sure if I'm, you know, getting in time with the metronome. Then I'll send you a video reply back, obviously answering your question. So that's the easy way of getting quick questions answered. I am going to be adding one-on-one lessons. So that'd be something for you want a bit more in depth. So you can book a one-on-one lesson with me. Obviously, that's going to be an additional cost. That's something I said in the survey. Was it last month, the month before? So that is coming. That is on the list to do. So if you want something a bit more in depth, this will answer a question that someone asked me this week as well. What's the difference, or when should I use, I should say, the forum over the support bubble? Now, support bubble gives you access just to me, so I'll be the only one answering that question, because I'm the only one that sees that. But if you want the community to answer that question, you want a bit more of a community response, then the community is a place to obviously answer that, if you want more of a discussion. So that's the real place where the community is. You want to obviously ask questions that people that the level that you are, or people that have been through that level, can then obviously pitch in and answer those questions. So that's what makes the community quite unique, because you've got this, obviously, this hybrid mastermind approach where you've got me there, but obviously all the people that want Beginner Guitar can obviously help you out. But if you just want to work, ask me a specific question, want my feedback, then obviously Support Bubble is the way to do that. But yeah, don't forget, Support Bubble is where you can get answers to those bite-sized questions. So Soren, we already do that. So you can obviously just do that through that. He did have a second question as well, and this was just suggestion of a workshop on how to achieve the right sound for a given song, which pedal types, etc. I have a multi-effects pedal, so it'd be possible for him to do that because he has access to all those different sounds. There's something I've been thinking about doing for a little while, and there is a workshop already about effects and amps. I can't remember what it was exactly called off the top of my head, but I do briefly go over different types of effects, so different types of gain effects, you know, distortion, fuzz, overdrive, modulation effects, so your vibrato and tremolo and, you know, stuff like that, chorus, different types of like reverbs, delays, all that kind of stuff. So I do touch upon that, but I do like the idea of diving into it a little bit more, maybe going over some of the different effects in a bit more detail. So you want maybe like a garage rock sound, you know, how you do that. You want this sort of sound, how you do that. So it's how to set up an amp and use effects. So let me quickly show you that. So it's on the second page of the workshop section. So if you go to the workshops, it's on page number 2. So how to set up an amp and use effects. And now I do go over, say, types of effects. I do go over amp controls, how to set them up. So that's definitely the first thing to look at, Soren. But yeah, it would be good to go in a bit more detail, I think. And it's definitely scope to do that. So I'll put that on the list because I think that will be something we can obviously dive more in depth with. Stuff like the effects, you could do a whole workshop just on gain effects and how to dial in different tones for different styles, different players and that kind of stuff. So I think that would definitely be a good thing to do. So I hope that answers your question, Soren. Let's go on to the next question I had pre-submitted, and it was from Martin. He said, is it possible to learn to hear a note and not, and let me start that again. Is it possible to learn to hear a note and know what that note is? Is this what's referred to as perfect pitch? I can listen to a chord and I know if it's right. I can hear a string that's out of tune and put it into tune when compared to another note. Is that known as relative pitch? So yes, you are correct, Martin. You've answered your own question, basically. Perfect pitch is ability to be able to hear a chord and know what that chord is without hearing or relating it to another chord. So you hear that, but, oh, that's a major seven chord or D major seven chord. You probably even pitch it as well. Relative pitch is, oh, is this a major to minor or minor to major? What's the first chord? What's the second chord? So you play them off one another. Okay, so the first chord is happy, major's happy, the second chord is sad, so the second chord is the minor. So it goes major, minor. I do that a lot with students to start hearing the difference between those sorts of chords. Now, relative pitch is definitely what we're working on at Beginner Guitar Academy. So with intervals, with chord progressions, that kind of stuff, and more and more as we go up through the levels. That's what you really want to focus on. Now, perfect pitch can be developed, but there's loads of schools of thoughts on this. There's, you'll see methods that can teach you perfect pitch at any age. You'll see other people say that kind of the door closes beyond like 10 years or something like that. It's difficult to develop. A lot of ear training will develop just through repetition. You recognize the sound because you'll hear it so much. You know, I can probably hear certain chords, like a G chord, for instance. Have I got perfect pitch? No, but I've just heard that chord so much, it's just ingrained in my head now. So I've heard it for the last 20 years. So you're probably going to be developing, I suppose, just auditory memory. So you'll hear the sound and work out what it is. Pentonic scales, I know a pentonic scale just because I've played it so much. And obviously I have worked on my ear train, so I have worked on hearing scales off one another and, you know, working out if it's a major scale, minor scale, and that kind of thing. But yeah, relative pitch is definitely what we want to work on hearing. So if you're working out like a riff and you think, oh, there's my riff, then you'll be like, oh, where's my scale? Oh yeah, that was the first note, so you find it. Oh no. Oh. And then you find it, so you're kind of referencing this, referencing that. Does it sound like this? Does it sound like that? Oh yep, it sounds more like this than that. So you're playing off each other rather than, oh, it was that note there. And again, that can be developed to some degree, but we're not going too heavy into that. So you pretty much have got it, the Martin, so we're rocking it. But yeah, it's a relative pitch we really want to work on. Hearing two sounds, play off one another, and you can work out that way. Cool. So I've got a few more questions that people have been asking that I wanted to go through. And the first thing was, Noah asked an interesting question this week, which was about using scales over blues. So if he's playing over blues, so let's start off with this sort of thing. So I'm playing a typical kind of blues pattern. You might refer to that as a spread rhythm, because you can see I'm spreading my fingers, or it's a five, then adding the six, to put it in more theoretical terms, and then obviously you drop down. So we've got a 12-bar blues. We might have a 12-bar blues using dominant 7 chords. We might have a 12-bar blues using minor chords. So how you know what scale to use over the top of those is if you're playing over straight minor chords, you're going to want to use the minor scale. Because we're in a minor key. If I use like a major scale, it's going to clash. One reason it's going to clash is because you're playing in that minor chord, you're playing a minor third, where in your major scale, you're playing a major third. So you hear how that clashes. So you're going to get clashes like that. So minor chords, minor scale. Same with major chords. If you're playing over like a major chord, the major scale all day long. But the interesting thing about the first chord type I played, the five and then adding that six, is that's neither major nor minor. So you can actually use a little bit of both. So your minor scale work over that, but then your major scale work over that too. So you can actually use both over that chord type and mix them up. That's where you get a lovely hybrid kind of rock and roll sort of sound. So it's depending on what chords you're playing over. So that was a really interesting question that I just wanted to say touch upon there, because it's one that pops up a lot. What can you use? And sometimes you can mix them up, major and minor. Again, this is set in stone. This is the beauty about blues as a genre. Blues fights against convention. So the chord types you're playing over are part major and minor with your dominant seven. So you can get away with using a bit of both there. It doesn't fit neatly into, you know, classical music theory, the blues. So you can bend the rules a little bit. So it's definitely something you can play with, but that's a really good starting point. If you're playing over minor blues, minor scale. If you're playing over major blues, major scale. If you're playing over dominant, you can use a little bit of both. And if you're playing over your, you know, spread rhythm, I've changed key now from what we did a minute ago, let's put it back in A. So you're playing over that, then again, it gives you a little bit more you can play with, because that's not major nor minor, so you can have a bit more fun with that one. So yeah, really interesting question. And the other question that I got asked this week that I thought was quite interesting was from Ed, who asked the difference between a riff and a lick. So what is the difference between a riff and a lick? And I guess quite a lot, because you hear all these different things, phrases, licks, riffs, all these kind of different names. What does it actually mean? So what a riff is the part of the song which is repeated. You know, Smoke in the Water is a great example of that. It's the part of the song which gets repeated over and over again. It's the main part of the song, if you like. This repetitive, you get stuck in your ear, that's that song. Like, sound like a Sunshine Love, that's the riff of the song. But then if you looked at maybe like something like the solo that Clapton plays, that is more of a lick. It's a short little phrase he plays in the solo. It's not a riff, he doesn't play it all the time. It's a lick. It's a little phrase he plays. And again, lick and phrasing kind of mix them up a little bit interchangeably. So that's the main difference. A riff is the identical part of the song, which is repeated over and over again. And the lick is in the song, but it might just be something you hear once or twice. It might be just once, a little feel you hear over the verse. It might be, you know, a little part of the solo. So that's the main difference there. Next thing I'll talk about was something David pointed out, actually, which was connecting notes. So rolling your finger. And he actually said this in regard to Run To by Bryan Adams that we do in level 4. And if you've not come across rolling your finger, this is a really good technique to look at of connecting two notes really smoothly. Connecting two notes on adjacent strings. So say I'm playing fifth fret on the E, and then I'll play fifth fret on the B. If I take my finger off the fifth fret on the E to play the fifth fret on the B, you can hear there's this gap. The note stops. But if I roll my finger, the gap isn't so big. There might still be a little bit of a gap, but it's not really. as I roll the pressure from one string to the other, there's not really much of a gap in between. So rolling your fingers is a really smooth way of connecting notes. They've got to be obviously on adjacent strings. But it's a really good thing just to be aware of and start playing around with. Something we do look at at the beginning of time for certain arpeggios, like G major arpeggio is a really nice one for that. Because you can roll that finger on those top two strings, the third fret of the B, the third fret of the E. So that's a really nice one to look at for that. But if you haven't experienced, if you haven't played around with rolling your finger, that's a really good thing to play around with. If you've got notes adjacent strings, definitely try and use that, because that will really help. Now, I did talk about use the support bubble, when to use it in the community. Damon asked a really good question, actually, in the community this week, which was how to remember a solo. Because I always used to find this quite tricky. How do you keep it in your head? Now, some of this obviously is going to be repetition, because you've just got to keep it in there by doing it over and over again. But there's a few tools you can use that are going to make it a little bit easier. One is looking at the scale that it's coming from. So say we do, I did a minute ago. whole lot of love. Sunshine Love, sorry, by Cream. Say we've got like a little phrase there. Something like that, yeah? So rather than just thinking, all right, there's my solo. Trying to think, all right, I'm playing 12, 15, blah, 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 blah. What you want to think about is the shape. So I'm using pattern one, D minor pentatonic, and try and play it somewhere else. So you start seeing the actual shape your fingers are in. You start thinking maybe theoretically as well. So if you know your notes, you say, oh, I'm doing the one, doing the flat seven, doing the five. That will help keeping your head there a little bit longer. And then the tune of it as well. So rather than just thinking of a solo as just the numbers, if you're looking at the tab or something like that, try and get that sound in your ear. Try and think about the tune that is being made. Because again, you'll remember that a lot more than just thinking about finger positions. If you can hear it, you'll be able to then find it. So you'll be able to hear, oh, that's higher than that note. It was lower than that note. And that's really essential as well for getting the rhythm. If you can get the melody in your head, you'll be able to pick out the rhythm a lot easier. So definitely use your ear. Use your eyes to work out what the scale is. Play around, moving it in different keys. That means you can then make it your own. You can take that lick and play in different places. It's going to also really help with stuff like improvisation and things like that, and actually using that in other songs or seeing it in other songs. So there's hopefully a few ideas. But yeah, a lot of it's going to be repetition. A lot of people fall in the trap of trying to do too much as well. So if you're going through a solo, break it down into those small little phrases. Break it down into bite-sized chunks. And you might find you just spend, you know, a few days just on one of them, really trying to ingrain that. Quite often, you know, memory retention, the problem is we can't learn big things. We've got to learn them quite small. And the more practically we can make it, the more we can use the ears and the eyes, and we can start really feeling that lick, then that's going to obviously instill that a bit more and keep it in our head a little bit more as well. So hopefully a few ideas there to kind of play around with that and kind of put that into use. And there we go, guys. There's all the pre-submitted questions I had. So hopefully gone through some things there you could take away and kind of experiment with. Definitely the rolling the finger is a really good one to play around with, because that comes up loads of places. So yeah, really, really good thing we want to look at. The kids now are back at school from the Easter holidays, so they're 2 weeks off. So I should be rolling out a few more updates the next couple of weeks. And so if you haven't already, go over and subscribe to the challenge. I've got a Play Every Day in May challenge, so 5 minutes a day throughout May. So I'll basically be sending a short video, a little 5 minute video, just of a little technique every day throughout May to really help drill in the practice habit completely free. Go over to bgachallenge.com. You can sign up for that. And I think that's all the news I've got for you at the minute. So like normal, I'll speak to you guys in the community. But until then, have a fantastic week, and I'll speak to you soon.